Kristen.
Hi, Natalie.
For those of you that are here listening to our podcast, let me set the mood for you.
Ooh.
Kristen looks very beautiful.
Do I really?
You do. Mm-hmm. Your skin looks very flawless and your hair is lovely as always.
I'm just in my relaxed Sunday bliss.
But she has a cute little sweater on. And it's also pouring rain, but it's one of those magical autumn New York days where the rain is just pouring and you're having a little afternoon coffee and like cuddled up with your best friend doing a podcast. So that's what we're doing.
So why don't you just pull up a chair, get real cozy, and enjoy this beautiful rainy fall day with us.
That's it. And today, on this beautiful rainy day, we are talking about your purpose as priority. Now, this topic actually came to us sort of spontaneously and organically on our last podcast when we were talking with Monique Coleman, and we were all just jamming together, and we can't remember exactly how, but basically this idea came through that we want to see our purpose as priority. Now, when we talk purpose, yoga, the darshana of yoga, the philosophy of yoga, describes it in a few ways that I will share because I think these are just a really interesting way to think about it. So it is described that your purpose is the desire to become who you were meant to be. So what's interesting about that is that your purpose is not just what you do, but it is your desires. So your purpose on this planet is to have desires and know that your desires are actually pointers, clues to who you are supposed to be. And so we are meant to follow those desires. So that's a good place to start. Number two, the second definition of purpose is to fulfill your unique purpose or destiny. So it is saying that every one of us has a unique dharma. No two dharmas are the same, like no two fingerprints are the same. That means that any idea of competition is already outside of our purpose as priority because there is no competition in dharma. There is no competition in purpose because everyone has a unique purpose. So when you find yourself on the path of competition or comparing, then you can already know that you've stepped away from your purpose and into something else. The final one, which is my favorite. Are you ready for it? This just feels like poetry to me. Here it is. Dharma is to live in harmony with the divine order of the cosmos. Does that not feel like a juicy kiss on your lips?
Yes.
To live in harmony with the divine order of the cosmos. The cosmos, the planets, the stars, the solar system, the universe is part of a divine order. That there is a plan, there is an orchestration, and when we live our purpose, we are in harmony with all things. For many of us who think if I live my purpose, that's selfish, this definition just throws that out the window. Because when we're not living our purpose, we actually create discord or disharmony in the universe. And we actually play the game together collectively in harmony when we actually stand for what we're here for. Deep, right?
So it brings up the question, how did we learn to take our purpose and make it not a priority? Or somehow make everything else more important than our purpose? And I think this goes way, way back, like from before we arrived. But as we know, your purpose is also connected with your bliss. And something that happens very early on is, as we grow, as we mature, we can be told that where we find our bliss, where we find happiness, the things that bring us joy, are to be done after all the work is done.
Right. It's like you can play after school.
Right.
You can have dessert after dinner.
You can have a little bit of television after your homework.
Yes.
I always like to joke about how my parents wouldn't let me watch MTV when I was a little kid. And little did they know that most of the money I would make in my life would be from actually having to do research that came from MTV. Right? That I would, like, my whole livelihood would come from, like, pop and rock music.
MTV was part of your dharma.
It was part of my dharma. And I had to sneak it when they left the room.
Yes.
Right? But so instances like that, right, teach us that where we find joy, where we find happiness, we feel like it's almost not okay to go. And oftentimes what happens, and this can happen in our families of origin, we feel like we have to take care of everybody else before we're allowed to take care of ourselves.
Mm.
Now, taking care of ourselves, the number one thing is giving attention to who we came to this planet to be, what we want to become, what wants to become through us. And so often what we do is we save that thing of like, ooh, what's this thing that wants to come through me or grow through me, or what I really want to be on the planet, what I really want my life to look like, this vision I have inside. We go, okay, well, I can give that some thought after the trash is out and the dishes
yeah.
are done and the kids are at school and the this and the that and the this and the that. And we allow those lists to get really long of everything else that we're taking care of. And often what can come up in that too is other people's emotional life, right?
Mm.
Other things become more important than nursing. It's like nursing the dance of the cosmos that wants to come and dance in through our lives. Now,
oh, that's so true. It's like if we're meant to dance in the cosmos, right? Then our dance partner is source, is
mm-hmm.
divine,
yes.
is nature, is love,
yeah.
Is universe. And anytime we allow someone or something else to step in and become our dance partner, the dance has to change because it doesn't dance the same steps as the universe does.
Woo! Okay. All right, Deep Channel. That's the truth.
Yeah.
You know.
And then don't we get mad when we're like, I'm not dancing the dance I want. And then we want to blame the dance partner. Why are you leading me in this direction?
Because we haven't made the ultimate dance partner our source,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're always going to be mad at who we think the dance partner is supposed to be, our agent, our manager, the bank that was supposed to give me this loan, all those things that we think are supposed to be the thing that is giving us the thing.
Mm-hmm.
When our true dance partner is the source.
Mm.
And that source planted the purpose inside of us.
That's right.
It's the treasure it wants us to discover. I love this Elizabeth Gilbert quote that says, the universe buries strange jewels deep within us all and then stands back to see if we can find them.
Do you know how on the same channel we are? So does everyone know when you have on like Facebook, it'll say like memories from
uh-huh.
your life that'll pop up? I posted that exact same Elizabeth Gilbert quote like 5 years ago today.
No!
And when you were like, I want to do this quote in the lecture, I was like, oh, I already received it.
Yeah,
I got
it.
I got
it. Same channel.
But again, that's kind of the thing, right? It's like Source actually gave us the same quote.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever our purpose is, if we're standing for it, Source will give us exactly what we need.
Yes.
But when we go around the world like looking for what it might be, sometimes we waste a lot of time.
Right. When it is inside of us. And what I love is how she calls it a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it a treasure for you, but it's also a treasure for the whole world.
Mm.
And often we give people what we think they need or what we think they want, when what they want really, and they don't know it, it's for us to move fully into our purpose and our dharma.
Ah, it's like we look around the world and we see so much lack.
Yes.
And we think that's the reason that we can't move forward. We don't have the resources. We are in lack. But the treasure is inside of us. And as we bring the treasure forward, the whole world gets more treasure. The whole world has more currency.
That's right. It's so funny. This may be for next week, but it came in last night. So I'm just going to say it. One of the things that popped in last night was we can't control others, but we can influence them.
Mm.
Right? So often, sometimes, like, when I think of putting others first, we're doing that so that they love us.
Mm.
Right? But in that, we're also, like, devaluing ourselves.
Right, because then we're making their purpose the priority and not our own.
That's right.
And then we make them responsible for doing it back for us, and we have resentment when it doesn't occur.
That's right. And we are of our highest place of influence for the whole, for all, when we're just in our purpose.
That's right. Because then we become an inspiration. We become a set point of, I thought this was possible, and now Kristen living her dharma has showed me something else is possible. And if it's possible for you, because there's no separation, of course it's possible for me. So thank you so much for raising the bar of what I can now know is possible.
That's exactly right. You know, it's something we keep talking about, the same concept the last couple of podcasts from Stephen Pressfield, mm-hmm. about what is urgent and versus what is important. It kept coming up again and again. Well, as we were like doing a little bit of research for this lecture, guess what that concept is called in Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art? The principle of priority.
What?
So, actually, for weeks now, we've been talking about this principle of priority.
Not knowing what it was called. Yes. And then we decided to teach on purpose as priority, and we're like, oh yeah.
There it is. So, the principle of priority states, A, you must know the difference between what is urgent and what is important, and B, you must do what is important first.
That makes me think of the tendency to open your eyes in the morning, and before even looking out the window and seeing the sky, we reach for the phone and is there a message? Is there an email? And that becomes like urgent to respond to other people. Now, if we start our day by saying someone emailed me, it's urgent that I respond to them before I even take time with my source, whether it's gratitude, whether it's prayer, meditation, self-care, spending time with myself, then we have now said that we are second place to someone else. And we say that with every action we will then take through the day, because that's the setup. The setup is that we become secondary and that we don't know our own importance.
Ugh.
It's like we want to shift the paradigm to say, almost like all of those emails, all of those needs, even if it's a great need. I mean, it's one thing to say someone, you know, sent an email and wants a response back, but it's another thing when someone's like, I'm really in an emotional place and I need you to help me right now. You know, for us to give ourselves permission to take a moment and know that our intentions is always to do good and always to help when we can, but to actually ask, would helping be in service of what I'm here for? Or would it be trying to make myself feel better or overcompensate for the fact that I don't feel worth much outside of what I do for others?
You said something kind of brilliant this morning about overcompensation.
Yeah, I had this, all my best revelations come from Flywheel.
We were in spin class, and we come out, and she's like, I got something. And I was like, ooh, tell me. What came in?
I don't know what it is about working out that seems to bring deep spiritual messages to me, but that's what happens. But I was thinking how there are the weeks when I'm going spinning where, let's say, I haven't been eating that well, or, you know, I've been like overindulging, right? So I feel a little heavy. I feel a little off my game. So then I'll go to my workout like, I really got to hustle. I really got to work hard. I really got to lose as many calories as possible. I got to really make this count and kind of overcompensate and make up for the fact that I had had like too much calories or too much food. But I was having that experience today where, you know, I'd just been eating really simply, really light, really honoring the change of season, eating kind of according to Ayurvedic principles, which is sort of like the food science that yoga is the sister science to. And so when I was spinning today, I noticed myself just not pushing myself nearly as hard as I normally would. And I thought, well, right, because there's nothing to fix or make up for. So now I can just be in the present moment and do what feels really good in this present moment that's not affected by decisions of my past. I can just be here now and do what feels best. So I think that sometimes when we are off our purpose, right, and we have that feeling of having gotten off our purpose, we then want to jump back on the bandwagon of purpose and we need to overcompensate and do all the things because we feel like we've been off. We feel like we've been out of the game. We have to make up for lost time somehow. And I feel like that only puts us into hustle mode and it's unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And not only is it unsustainable, but it's actually not conducive to our dharma coming to life, because our dharma comes to life through our listening and taking the next right step.
Yeah, so it can be kind of, if you feel like, all right, I've noticed I have gotten off my purpose, right? I have noticed that in my life, I start to feel like life becomes a little bit dull, like I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. I'm finding myself full of resentments. Often when we start to feel really resentful or kind of like icky, or we feel like life isn't flowing, like when they talk about the flow, you're like, yeah, I'm not in that. Yeah. I feel all the blocks. The train keeps stopping when I'm underground. Yeah. It's like I noticed that you can feel life trying to stop you when it wants to realign you.
Ah.
Right? So it's trying to get you to go, hold on. Yeah, I know it feels like things are stuck right now. It feels like things are blocked. Because I want to do an adjustment, a chiropractic purpose adjustment on your back. Mm. And I was wondering, could you read the characteristics of when you are not in your purpose?
I was thinking that as you were saying that. Mm-hmm. So one thing that the Yoga Sutras talks about is being on the path of yoga is the path of the least suffering and the path of living your ultimate destiny or your dharma, right? So they call it the path of yoga. Now, it's not like yoga poses. It's literally the path of yoga is to yoke or to unite yourself with your truest self, right? So when you are in your path of your truest authenticity and union with why you are here on the planet, it's like the floodgates open and you're in that flow state. So what they will say is when you're leaving the state of yoga, and my teacher Christy describes it as like, warning, leaving the state of yoga, like a big loudspeaker yelling at you, there are obstacles that will arise in our life to indicate to us, baby girl, baby boy, it is not that you're doing anything wrong, but FYI, you're leaving the state of yoga. You're leaving the state of union with your dharma. And here are those obstacles that the sutras describe. Disease is number one. Mental fatigue. Doubt. Hasty actions. Physical lethargy. Laziness. Excess lust or overindulgence or overstimulation, stubbornness, the need to be right, being stuck or stagnant, having a lack of patience, collapsing or giving up, having scattered thoughts, rumination, or depression. It's like none of us have ever experienced any of those.
No. Never.
Up on this mountaintop, we do not feel any of those.
and known when you were experiencing it, knowing that you were actually off your purpose.
Right. And what the sutras say is when these things show up, it is simply a signpost on the road that you are traveling down to say, hey, if you keep going down this road, this is what you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't want this road, this is the opportunity to turn the car around and choose a new route.
Yeah.
So what's funny is, let's say, for example, when lethargy comes up, when depression comes up, when feeling stuck comes up, oftentimes we will get so frustrated with ourselves and annoyed with ourselves and think, I'm doing something wrong. I can't get it right. What's wrong with me? I hate everyone. We want to hate the world. We want to hate the conditions around everything. We want to place blame. We want to feel victimized. But all that is happening is these things are coming to help us. They're literally coming to say, hey, this isn't who you are. So I'm coming up so that I can help steer you back, like you were saying, realign, redirect you to your dharma. So whenever these things show up, it is not that we have done wrong. It is just that there's an opportunity for us to realign with our purpose on this planet. And the second we take one step of show me or listening or I'm willing to get back on my purpose, show me the next right step, then these things get to take the back seat and we get to be alive and fruitful and abundant and excited and joyous again.
Right. So purpose really wants to be in conversation with us, right? And if purpose is our priority, it's the number one conversation that we're having.
Mm.
So in the morning when we wake up, before we look at our phone or get online, it's like sitting down to have a conversation with your soul and have a conversation with your purpose and say, tell me all the sweet nothings, you beautiful dance partner. Whisper in my ear, how do you want to delight me today? Where do you want to take me? How can I delight you? How can we dance together today? And that it can be this like graceful, wonderful, fun thing. Like, our purpose actually came here to make our life awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It came here. It's not like this big, heavy obligation or responsibility that you were like, oh, I have to do all these things so that I can, like, carry this mantle or, right, like, carry this burden. But that it came here because we all have this deep desire to do what lights us up and to do it in a way that's it is of service to others.
Mm.
It's like the universe knows there is no more fun way. It's
yes.
like the triple orgasm.
Yes. And it's almost, I love that. It's almost like, I have like the image of like being at like the dance studio.
Yes.
Right. And you step up and it's like looking for the dance partner. And it's like purpose is like the stunning, gorgeous flamenco dancer in the red dress, or like the handsome man who's suave and tall and has all the muscles in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like sitting over on the bench while you like dance around with all the like klutzy, awkward partners. But what's beautiful is even though it's just sitting there waiting to get our attention, it never gets mad at us. It never gets mad that it wasn't chosen first. It's always available. It's always right there just being like, baby, as soon as you pay attention, give me your hand. Let us do this.
I have places to take you.
I have moves you've never seen.
Oh, and I got moves you're gonna love.
It reminds me of, like, you know, in Dirty Dancing. Is that the movie? And at the end, they do the big lift.
Your purpose lifts you.
Your purpose lifts you, and you're like this arm spread, like Jennifer, what's her name, in the sky, floating around.
All I want for Christmas is a T-shirt with me being lifted into the air by my purpose. I would wear it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Okay, are you ready to be rocked?
Yes, please rock me.
Okay. All right, girl. After all that dance talk. Okay. Stephen Pressfield.
Who we love.
Great guru that you are. This is what he says. It may help to think of it this way. If you were meant to cure cancer or write a symphony or crack cold fusion and you don't do it, you not only hurt yourself, even destroy yourself. You hurt your children, you hurt me, you hurt the planet. You shame the angels who watch over you, and you spite the Almighty who created you and only you with your unique gifts.
Mm.
For the sole purpose of nudging the human race 1 millimeter farther along its path back to God.
Mm.
Creative work is not a selfish act or a bid for attention on the part of the actor. It's a gift to the world and every being in it. Don't cheat us of your contribution. Give us what you've got.
Mm.
Right?
Wow.
Give us what you've got. That's what we came here to do.
Yeah.
It reminds me of how Wayne Dyer always used to say, I won't die with my music still in me.
Mm.
Or Lin-Manuel Miranda says, I'm not going to give up my shot. Right?
Yeah.
It's like we all came with a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do we deny the world, we deny ourselves.
Mm.
And when we give it to the world, we're also giving ourselves what we truly want. So how can we make little tiny adjustments? You know, I love that thing of like, it's not like we're going to do this gigantic about face that isn't sustainable.
Yes.
But how can we take little actions each day? We know who we are is the summation of our habits, right? And so we just want to build more habits in our day that allow our purpose to become more of our priority.
Mm.
First, before anything else is done.
Mm. I love that so much. And this just in,
mm-hmm.
When we start taking a stand for our purpose, the way Stephen described, like when we start being who we were really born to be, what will also show up in our life as kind of like these obstacles that we described is that other people in our life who are not on their purpose will start to experience these obstacles towards us.
Woo!
Right? Now, that's a sign that we're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the sign of like, let me stop and make them feel better, or let me stop and convince them that what I am doing is right. That's the opportunity for us to say, oh, the obstacles are showing up for them now. What an amazing opportunity. And let me get out of the way of them working that out for themselves so that they can too live their purpose. Then we become the inspiration for what's possible. And it doesn't become our responsibility to lift everyone and drag everyone with us. It mm-hmm. becomes our responsibility to shine so bright that everyone gets a little light.
Okay. Let's do that.
I think that's what we should do. Yeah. That feels like fun, too.
That does feel like fun.
There's not a lot of responsibility other than to our hot dance partner.
To do the dance we came to dance.
That's it. Dancing with Dharma.
Yes. Oh, man.
I love it. Let's just do that.
Okay, let's
do
that.
For our whole lives. Let's do it together.
All right. I love that.
Do you have any final thoughts? I think I feel so juicy and complete.
Maybe I'll leave us with one last Stephen Pressfield.
Why not?
If you don't mind. If you don't mind.
I would love it.
I looked down and I saw a little writing by Natalie Roy that said, every time you avoid your dream, you are really avoiding you. Mm. And it made me think of how we're actually really terrified of how our dream might come into our life and blow it up, right? But we have to know that it's not something to be feared just because it's somewhere we've never been before.
Yeah, and that our dharma is not separate from us. It's like our dharma is not a flower that we are holding in our hands. Mm-hmm. Our dharma is us. Our dharma is the internal presence that comes through our bodies, our voices, our talent, our ideas, our creativity. So when we put it second, then really we're putting ourselves second and then complaining and condemning the world for not seeing us as number one.
When we've had this talk before about, you know, the being number one is we have to move ourselves up into that spot where we hold so it's like each one of us is a nursery. Mm. You know, like a nursery that where they have like gardens inside? Mm-hmm. We are here as this beautiful greenhouse, and what we're growing inside is this beautiful garden of our dharma.
Mm.
And the only garden we can grow is our own.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So that's why it has to be our number one priority to grow our garden, because we can only grow that one.
And it's the only reason we're here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually also sometimes think that sometimes there's like a resistance to fully embodying our purpose, because then there's the feeling of like, well, when my purpose is done, do I have to leave? Right? But it's like, this is what we came to do.
This is what we came to
do. You know, and I love that Abraham Hicks will sometimes talk about, the guides will say, you know, we like to keep humans in a little bit of turmoil so that they keep being engaged in evolution and growth, because it's the whole point of why we're here.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we can know and see it as a game. See the obstacles as a game. See when other people show up as an opportunity for us to make ourselves number one. We sometimes will have to set boundaries and say no. But instead of seeing it as like, oh, this is such hard work, I'm just trying to live my dreams and all these things keep getting in the way, it's like, no, you are living your dreams not in spite of those things. You are living your dreams because of those things, because every time you make the conscious choice to put dharma first, then dharma gets to grow.
Whew, all right.
Let's do that.
So here's what Stephen Pressfield has to say. None of us are born as passive...
Take two.
None of us are born as passive generic blobs waiting for the world to stamp its imprint on us. Instead, we show up possessing already a highly refined and individuated soul. Another way of thinking of it is, we're not born with unlimited choices. We can't be anything we want to be. We've come into this world with a specific personal destiny. We have a job to do, a calling to enact, a self to become. We are who we are from the cradle, and we're stuck with it. Our job in this lifetime is not to shape ourselves into some ideal we imagine we ought to be, but to find out who we already are and become it.
Mm.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephen. So let us celebrate who we came here to be. And if anyone listening doesn't know what that is, then see that as the most beautiful opportunity to like go on the best blind date with yourself and start finding out what you're all about. Be brave enough to ask the question and journal about it and see what comes. Be brave enough to look in your own eyes in the mirror and say, who are you? What lights you up? What are you here to do? And just listen, watch, get quiet, get still, and just enjoy getting to know what your unique destiny is that will bring you into harmony with the divine order of the cosmos.
Yeah. What came up to in my mind is the thought of treasure hunting.
Treasure hunting.
You get to go treasure hunting inside yourself and see how rich you are.
Mm.
Oh, there's so much to discover.
I can't wait for you to find your crown and
Woo!
Report back.
Oh, you guys are all going to be all blinged out. I'm all blinged out with my dharma.
That's my favorite. Blinged out with dharma. Thank
we love you.
We love you so much. We want to thank all of our listeners from all over the world. A special shout out to our listeners in Japan. We have so many great listeners, and we're so
that's exciting.
Eternally grateful that you're tuning in.
Whoever you are.
We love you.
Yeah.
If you loved this podcast, please feel free to share it with someone that you love or someone that you don't love. That could be a fun conversation. And feel free to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Create Play Group, or check out our website, www.thecreateseries.com. And we have a very special something to tell you about.
So, on November 1st, ladies and gentlemen, our very first video series ever is dropping. Now, if you dug this podcast and as you were listening, something in your heart went, I have a dream, I have a calling, there's something in me, and I know it, I can see it, I can feel it, it wants to come out, and you feel like you're out of alignment with that path of your dreams, this whole video series is about getting you in alignment with who you really are, getting you on the pathway of your dreams. And what we do, it's the very first course Natalie and I ever did together. So it's like what we're really good at. And what we did is we took both of what we had been teaching separately for 10 years and brought it together. So it is the path of going up your chakras, going up your energetic anatomy. As we go through the 7 steps of creativity, we work in your masculine and feminine and learn how to integrate both of them to work together in harmony so that you can work in ease and play and go further and farther and create a sustainable and like enjoyable dance with your dreams.
Because how many of us have a dream, have a desire, and we don't even know what the first step to take is? So this course is designed to give you that very first step. This is step one. This is where you start. This is how you bring that screenplay to life or write that song or get that idea out into the world. Then we take you through all of the 7 steps, and also we take you through the kind of blocks or stopping points. So many of us, when we get on the road to our dreams, we come up against natural roadblocks like fear or doubt or guilt or shame. So we're going to take you through how to manage and be in harmony with those pieces of the puzzle as they arise too. So the idea is that we take your idea all the way up through manifestation.
Yes. I like to think of it as like we're planting your dream in your root chakra, in your foundation, and growing it all the way up into a beautiful tree that comes out the top of your crown chakra.
Love it.
Right? So, friends, this is over 7 hours of like cute videos with me and Natalie, like, and really like great outfits, and we got our makeup done, and there's meditations, and there's exercises, and there's worksheets, and we have basically taken everything that we feel passionately about of to give to you so that you can be living a life where you are like, I am giving my dharma to the world. I have everything I need. I'm fully supported. I am fully worthy. That is our deepest desire, to give this to the planet. So thank you for allowing us to do our dharma in that way.
So if you're interested, go to our website, thecreateseries.com, check it out, and We cannot wait to speak with you again very soon.
We can't wait to hear how your dreams are just blossoming all over the world.
Feel free to come and chat with us on our Create Community Facebook page or on Twitter and Instagram, and just tell us what's going on. Tell us how the Dharma Dance is going.
Oh, we love you, and we love your sexy Dharma Dance.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!